Blessings. Wow, is it good to be here? You know, what a great thing. You know, I was telling Karen this morning, you know, that there's an anointing. New season. And I was telling her, I said, you know, I had this word. I preached all night long. I didn't sleep all that much, I don't think, but I preached all night long. So what'd you preach? I said, yeah. No, I actually had key points, but I forgot a lot of it, you know? And then I'm sitting here in worship, and it was coming back, boom. So I got all these notes that we're probably not going to do. But, and then Ken, what he said is exactly what I heard during the night. So I believe we got a word in due season, amen? Seriously, though. So, you know, Pastor Ken, you know, brought this up. It's really important to, and we were praying up here this morning, and Pastor Greg, raise your hand. Yeah. He was praying. He talked about having ears to hear. And, you know, that's so important that we make a decision. Kim, your word was powerful. Not that you did, but don't ever think you don't have anything. I'm telling you, that was right on spot. Spot on. And we're excited about him, man. So if it's okay, I'm going to go right to the word. I think it's important we set a stage today for what I believe that not only this church, but the body of Christ, but specifically we're talking about this church, has in play for this time coming up. You know, Jesus, when he spoke to the disciples, you know, he oftentimes said things that challenged them, but that empowered them. And you can see it in the letters that Peter wrote and John wrote. It caused them to come to a new, higher level because there was an anointing on his word. Now, I want you to really pick up on this. A buzzword that's used in church, something we call Christianese. But it's a real thing, and it's important that every person understands that you have this. Say amen to that. Well, let me ask you, do you call yourself Christians? Well, the word Christ means anointed ones. It says in Acts that they first called them Christians. Why? Because they were acting just like the anointed one. And so there's this part, you know, that we use this phrase and we can put a title on this. Because the word has empowerment on it. In fact, if you would turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I believe it's the 14th verse. If you got this, before you put up live, if you could, you'll see the part where it says Moses refused to be called. I believe it's verse 13. I can look it up if you don't. Next, okay. Look at 14. I know it's, next time, if you would, do you have the ability to look at the screen before you put it up? See the part where it says Moses in 16. You know, I apologize. I should have done that. I should have had that nailed down, but yeah. 23. 13. I missed it by 10. Close. 23. There you go. Look at this. Yeah, verse 24 is what I'm looking for right here. Look at this. By faith, Moses, when he come to years, look at this. Everybody say he refused to be called. Why is this important? See, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but rather choosing to suffer or align himself with the Israelites, with the people of God. Looking at verse 26, the approach of Christ, better. Now, I want you to pick up something, that oftentimes God will give you a word about what's going to happen in your life. And circumstances, maybe what you've been talking, it may be exactly not that. But God says you believe what God says about you. One woo. This is powerful. It is so powerful. 91, 92. We were at a church, and this started happening to Karen and I a lot. There was a minister, a pastor of ours, a pastor, a great man of God in my life, was telling me, Roger, I believe God's got a call in your life. And I had a real poor example. No, that's the wrong word. I had a poor picture. I had great examples. I had a poor picture of what ministry was. And I'd say, oh, no, that's not me. And then somebody would have, that I didn't even know me, would have a word. There was a day that I had to stop saying I wasn't something to start saying what God was saying I was. And when I did that, the work of God started happening in our lives. Now, this may not be, this is how it works with everybody. Different levels, perhaps. Refuse to be called what the world says about you, or maybe what traditions have said about you, and start saying what the Word of God says about you. And that's how you get to where you're at. Amen? So let's take off on this. That was kind of a side note there, but let's look at this. Let's go to about this word. We're going to just, I changed some of my things this morning. I'm not going to use all these notes, but I'm going to read a couple of verses here that's really important on this. And one thing that Pastor Ken brought up is how that we have this empowerment. We have a message that's important for all people. And I liked what he said. He said, you know, it's not just for the Christians, it's for those that are unsaved. And God will give you a word and do. I've talked about this a couple of times here, but something in those unusual places, the Lord would give me just something, an encouraging word to tell somebody that was going through a very difficult time. And oftentimes, if you don't watch it, you judge by the side of your eyes. You look at them like, well, you know, what's going on in their life? And God said, no, I just want you to say this to them. And then all of a sudden they break down. I had this one person, I think I may have told this testimony here, but I'm going to say it again for those that may not have heard it and remind you of this. But I walked into this office and I had a business. I was covering for one of our employees. I walked in and I had a little take care of some business, a paper to get signed. I walked in. This young lady was, she was a lot. And I say young, I don't know how old she was, maybe in her 30s, I don't really know. And there was another manager in the back. And I walked in, I said, are you okay? You know, I got some business to take care of, but that's not important right now. Are you all right? She said, no. She says, I've been sick all day. I got a fever and my shift's over, but I can't go home because the next person called in sick and I can't leave this until somebody comes and replaces me. Well, what do you do? You know, you could, all that's okay, but except that it doesn't help her. I said, well, I'll tell you what, you may not understand. Now, I didn't tell you all this story, but she had tats. I only saw one side of her, but it was all tattooed. Different color hair than most people would have. She had a lot of different things on it that would just see like this is an unlikely candidate, you know, for what I'm about to do. And all I did was say, you know what? You may not understand this, but I'm going to put, if you allow me to do so, I'm going to put my hand just on your shoulder and I'm going to pray for you. And she looked at me like, you know, like, I almost like she thought I was going to hit her or something. I don't really know what that was. I said, I'm serious, I'm just going to do this. And I was real cautious. I got, you know, it's a lady. I don't have. In the name of Jesus, you love this person. You love this young lady. And we call her healed. And this thing that's attacked her body is going to stop. And the part of her job will be resolved quickly. And I said, now, I happen to know everything I need to do on getting this paper signed, and I had to go do some other things in another one of the buildings. I said, so I'm going to take care of that for you. I'm going to do it for you. You just sit tight. I'm going to take care of this. So I took off, got all my stuff done, came back, brought the paperwork back. I walked in the door, probably 30 minutes by the time I had gone to the plants and got some other things signed. She says, what did you do? I'm all better. Yep. Now, you don't act surprised. I was a little bit, yeah. But you don't act surprised. You never let anybody know you're surprised, right? No, seriously. Yeah, of course. Seriously, what did you do? I prayed for you. Well, I don't know what you did, but I'm all better. You know, I said, so what's happening on your job? Oh, they just called me about 10 minutes ago, and they got somebody to come and replace me. Everything we prayed came to pass for her. Are you surprised? Now look, this isn't this. Now don't look at me like Pastor Roger did this. Amen? Because you know why? You're called to do this. That's what you're supposed, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And many of you do, and I know you do. But I realized something. You know where boldness comes from? First of all, the Holy Ghost is bold. But boldness comes from listening to what the Holy Ghost has to tell you to do and knowing that he's got your back. I'm ready for a meeting I go to, and I was going to. And some of you may not know this, but I talk about Brother Copeland a lot. Some of you think I'm like his best friend, and I have met him a few times. I've actually sat down with him a couple of times at the airport. But I've listened to him so much from 1980s on that I like know his stories. I know his family. I know so much about him. And that anointing, because we're partners, you do partake of that. And one time we was just some ministers, and he said, for all you young preachers, he said, you should come to every meeting prepared to preach. Even if you're not on the schedule. I was unpacking a box. I was kind of restocking, working on my library a little bit, and I was unpacking this box I had, and I found this brown notebook from 1988. How many of you know what Franklin Planner is? It's an old, we don't use them, we use phones now, but it's an old Franklin Planner. And in there, I have about 100 messages. I didn't count them, but there's a lot of them. I saw the first one I ever put together after that, hearing that. He said, you may never use them. But he said, preparation time is never wasted time. And what happened on this was, there was a day, it was over in Elkhart, Indiana, I was at a people were bustling around and something was going on. They were getting last minute preparations, about 100 men there, and it was supposed to be a great meeting. And they walked up and they said, we got a problem. They said, our second delays, he's not going to be here. We're trying to find somebody to cover it. Any chance you would do it? Now, they'd already asked about 5 people and they said, no, I guess. I didn't know that, but so I wasn't their first choice, you know. I said, be glad to do it. You've got something you can do? I know the Holy Ghost. Because now all this preparation is coming around. I don't... Prepare every time you go out that door to have an encounter with somebody that you represent God. And, you know, and so I do this message, and I'm not saying this because of Roger saying it, because they said it. They said it was really powerful. And they asked you, how'd you do that on the spot like that? Preparation, all these years, see? And so, be ready. What I learned about this, I was coming around to this. The Holy Ghost is really smart. Yeah, he's the smartest thing. He's just super smart. You know, God, he knows more than I know. Thank God. You know, he's really smart. And if you look at what this is, the anointing of Almighty God works through the Holy Ghost. The Bible says how in Acts 10:3, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm not taking an account here, but if you didn't raise your hand, we want to help you with that. Take you through the Word and show you this. You know why? Now listen closely. I want you, if you don't get, you're going to get more than just this out of this message. Well, that when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are praying anointed prayers because the anointing himself is having you pray it. Here just not that long ago, and I'm going to tell you, just in a still small voice, I heard it so solid. He said, I want you to go sit in your chair. I thought, well, don't have to talk to me twice about that, you know. Went and sat down. So I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Turn your phone off. Pray in the Holy Ghost over this. And, you know, I'm not like saying you got to do it 2, 3 hours, 4 hours. But this time you wanted me to stick with it for a little while. Because there were some rearrangements that needed to happen, what was going on right then, see. And he's smart. And he had me pray the anointing to some degree. And yet, at the same time, inside my spirit, I knew exactly what I was doing was so right. It was so perfect for the moment. And, of course, those things started resolving. I started seeing these things come together. So the Holy Ghost over your life. Everybody say amen. Amen. Get that picture. Okay, so I told you to turn to 1 Peter. Let's look at this. 1 Peter. And I want to... actually, excuse me, 2 Peter. We're going to actually read. I want to look at these verses. Look at verse, I'm going to start with verse 1, but I want to end up on verse 3 and some of those verses after that. But look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that are obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Look at this. Everybody look at verse 3. According as, you guys have it, can you put it up there on the screen? There you go. According as, everybody say according as. His divine power has given all things to pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and to virtue. Now, the King James says whereby on the next verse. But when it says that, it's referring to whereby, something said in front of that. Whereby or by this great and mighty power, verse 4, put it up there. You're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm going to ask you to say that with me. It's been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do you know that this is what makes you different than the unsaved? One of many things. The power that rises in you. So it's given unto us great and precious promises, and it says that by these you might be or you will be partakers, participants of now these next verses are all important. I'm not skipping them. But it starts telling you where it says, and besides this, giving you all diligence. It gives you a list of things to look at. It comes all the way down to verse 11 or verse 10. It says, whereby the rather, brethren, if you give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, it says, you shall never fall. Everybody say never fall. There. Some of the translations say never fail. Does that sound like it's pretty far out there? Never fall. Never fall. Does that get you? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've messed up, probably fallen, you know. But get back up. But if you do these things, he said, there's an empowerment to prosper in this. Now, once again, I want you to realize something. We're still on this where Kim and Ken both mentioned this morning about there's a lost world out there that needs to hear what you have. And it's more so than you just got something they have. You have a separation and a redemption on your... Listen closely. You can go out there and talk to somebody, and what you have, you can give to them, but what they have is not going to come on you. Listen, you need to hear that again. What you have is going to get off on them, but what they have, as far as what the enemy's given to them, the devil has put on their life, is the curse in their life is not coming on you. Boy, is it quiet in here. Listen, that last night when I preached that, I got more amens on my own room. And we're gonna read scriptures that tell this. Because the Bible says that Jesus has called you to reap, called you to be harvesters. At some point, and it has to be now, because I believe we're at this time, born-again believers need to get out there. Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to go door-to-door necessarily. One's divine appointment. You are someone's divine appointment. I remember one time praying. We prayed this in our church. Lord God, we just thank you for your divine appointment. And my son-in-law got up. and said, you know what? The Lord just spoke to me and says, we are that divine appointment for people. That's a good word, you know, because it really, there's somebody that needs to hear what God's got for you to say to them today. Now, don't take this like a, you know, a negative message of any type. It's a positive message. Great and precious promises. We are participants of his divine. Then let's look at this. Go back to 1 Peter. Actually, before we do that, I want you to look. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read these so we won't have to flip back. But look at this down here. Verse 17, we have received from God the Father honor and glory, which he came to us in such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. You can read this at Luke chapter 4. But of course, we know what happened at the Ascension when you have saw the two disciples saw Jesus on the Mount in Transfiguration. But here's what he said. A voice boomed from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. Let's all say it together. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, that was Jesus, right? Yeah. God's pleased with you. You take on the nature of Jesus. See, but this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Now here it says, they heard this voice, this booming voice. In fact, one of the Gospels says this, that some heard that booming voice, they thought it was thunder. Others didn't. Now, you know, I've looked at that thing, man, that'd been so cool to have been there. That'd been so wonderful to be there and hear that, you know. But then he cleans it up with this next verse. You know what he says? Look at this next verse. Look at this. We have now also a more sure word of prophecy. Everybody see a more sure word? This is more sure than you hearing a loud voice booming. And it says this. But as a light that shines in a dark place, it's a more sure word, until the day dawn and a day star arises in your hearts, knowing this, look at this, that no scripture or no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but it came by holy men of God. He spoke as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. You know what he said here? You have this more sure word of prophecy than a booming voice. Right here. This is big, because you know why? I just read, I have exceeding great and precious promises that by these, I'm a participant of God's nature, his lifestyle, his anointing to help others. Amen? I'm not only my own family, but to help others. Let's go back a few pages to 1 Peter. Look at this. Look at this. And I'm going to read. This whole chapter is good. I'm going to pick up verse 23. Look at this. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, God which lives and abides forever. And it says, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass, but the grass withers away, and the flower thereof falleth away. Look at this, verse 25. He tells you that to say this. But the word of the Lord, everybody say, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now look at this. And this is the word of the gospel, or by the gospel. This is the word. This incorruptible seed is the word that you have the gospel to preach this or to declare it to someone else, good news. Everybody say the gospel is good news. So notice here it says these scriptures are for you to get this word out. Now I want to go to a couple things here, and I want to pick up on Jesus talked about in John chapter 4. In fact, I'm just going to turn there. Put it up on the screen as well. We got time. I told you I preached all night long. I won't do it all day, I promise. but it'll be still good. Look at this. John 4, look at this. In verse 34, he says, my meat, my purpose is... Look at verse 35. It says, say not ye, don't you say this, that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, look up, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Everybody say they're already to harvest. I want you to notice here. Jesus said, actually, don't say this. But look right now, there's a harvest now. I learned this from some of my spiritual dads, and they said this. And I saw it in the scripture when they said this, and I don't know if they said exactly like this, but this is how I picked up on it, by the Holy Ghost. There's always something. Don't put what God's promised you off in 6 months. Well, I know someday that's going to happen for me. No, he said, don't say that. Don't say 6 months. He said, right now. There's a harvest right now. There'll be harvest in 6 months too. But right now, look up. Get a now presence in a mindset. A today, right now, there's something to harvest right now. People, you know, seed sown. It could be finances, time, ministry, you know, whatever. Family. Right now, ready. Amen. In fact, Daniel talks about that. I won't get that scripture. But he'll try to weary the saints with times and laws and seasons by saying it's not going to happen right now. He wearies the saints. But you know what the deal is? We have a word from our Lord Jesus Christ says, right now, look up. There's something ready to harvest. Every time you go, expect God to give you a word in due season for some person. You may just tell them, hey, you know, God loves. You may not, you know, because, and then Greg may be walking behind you saying, you know, the gospel says, you know what I'm saying? God will line up these harvesters, see, these words and prepare this. But you know what? It takes willing people to do it. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter and 11th verse. We're going to pull this in here real quick here. Hebrews 11:11. Look at this. I want you to pay attention to this now. Hall of Faith, not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. And it talks about by faith that these different, all these different people, it says by faith we know that the elders obtained a good report. Next verse says, it says, and talks about even that God framed the worlds by faith. And then it says in Hebrews 11:6 says this, he says, so we know it's impossible to please God without faith. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is that great hall of faith. But I want to go back to verse 11. It says, through faith also. Everybody say, through faith also. Everybody say, receive strength. To conceive seed. Isn't those interesting words? Received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged count in Genesis about Sarah. I'm sure you've read it. You've probably heard it preached here or in other places perhaps, or maybe in Sunday school in the days past. But God goes in 17th and 18th chapter, God goes and tells Abram, he says, we're going to change your name, not just to Abram, but to Abraham, which means not only father, Abram, but a high father or father of a multitude. That's Abraham. He says, and your wife will no longer be called Sarai, but Sarah. That same H brings it, because she's going to be the mother of a multitude. And he goes in chapter 18, he goes and tells in verse 17, in chapter 17, first he tells Abram, says, and you're going to call this young man, it's this born of you, it means to be born of laughter, or it literally refers to a little bit of mockery, but it refers to laughter. In chapter 18, he goes and tells them this again, and Sarah's in the tent. He's talking to Abraham, and he says, you're going to conceive, your wife's going to conceive and give birth. And the Bible says that God said, it says that Sarah laughed in her heart. I'd have done that because God says, why'd you laugh? And she says, I didn't laugh because she was afraid. He says, no, you didn't. He says this in this following verses after, but also in chapter 17. He says, I'm going to make my covenant with Isaac, which means laughter. In light of Hebrews 11:11, how she received strength. Now, I'm not going to give you some Greek lesson on this, but I want you to pick up on something. That the received, there's a word lambano, which is the same word that's used when Jesus took our infirmities. He had to take them. It's also the same word that says when you believe God, like in Mark 11:24, it says when you pray, believe you receive them, lambano, you take them. So this was something that she had to grab a hold of. And I got, you know, God's so cool. He's so amazing. I'm convinced he's got a sense of humor. You know, I know he does because the Bible. There's something to this. There's this part. This is a spiritual force. It's an important part of us. Listen closely. This is a spiritual force. It's important for all of you. But it says here. Let's put that right here. We're going to come back to that. So here we are. She's laughing. And God says, you may laugh now because you don't hardly believe it, or maybe you're excited about it, I'm not really sure. Well, he knew her heart. But he said, we're going to make this covenant with laughter. And he used the very thing that she didn't really understand and perhaps didn't embrace it fully yet. He used that very thing to her behalf and benefit. Nehemiah 8. Yep, put it up there. Put Nehemiah 8:10 up, if you would. You're going to like, you guys know this verse. Look at this. He said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Don't you be sorry. Don't be weary. Everybody say this last part. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Spiritual law. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now go back to Hebrews 11:11. So God looks at this and says, you know, you laughed. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. And I'm going to make this my covenant with Isaac, laughter. His name means laughter. And he says, through faith also, how to receive strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You see how God used this? He used this to turn this thing around. And not only did he turn it around, but she had a change of heart where it wasn't like laughing at the situation like, oh, that seems impossible, to saying, oh, no, I got a word from the Lord, and it's impossible for me not to have this happen. I'm going to laugh at the impossibility and receive. Steve C., like, well, that's how she had the baby. Yes. Yes, but listen closely. Listen closely. We just read that you were born again of incorruptible seed, and the word of God is incorruptible seed. You have seed, and you have strength to conceive the seed of God's word in your life. I'm telling you, the word, the Bible says in John 1, 13, said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Speaking of Jesus and all the prophetic words of Jesus, it became flesh and dwelt. We got our Jesus from this word of God, prophetic. I had a bone that had, I had some areas in my body where the bone had decayed and I had an infection and they said, you never get that back. I remember walking out of there. My God's greater. My God's greater. And I found words that said laughter is good for the bones. I found scripture that said that the word of God is like meat and juice, and it'll make your bones pliable again. It'll grow. You know why? And the word became flesh and replaced that decayed bone. In fact, that doctor, it was actually a dentist type doctor, he quit and moved somewhere else. I tried to go where he was at there, and he quit again, so I ended up going to another place. And in the meantime, they're trying to get these x-rays and all that sent over, right? And I got this appointment. They're not there yet. So, well, we're just going to take new x-rays, start over. And he said, man, your teeth look good. This jaw thing, that's your problem, you know, it looks great. It looks wonderful. You're in great shape. He said, you know, we got this problem over here, but it's not over here now. What? That doesn't happen. You can't get that back once you lose it. Yes, you can. Everybody say, yes, you can.
Yes, you
can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because the word will give you strength to conceive the seed. Because look at this last part. It says, she judged him faithful who had promised. The word of the Lord works. Yes, it can. You have to stop being called what won't work and start saying, the word of God says it will work. I'm not going to be called this so I can receive this over here. I cast that down to receive this in Jesus' name. Now listen, let's get to where, let's talk about these things that the Holy Ghost set in play with Pastor Ken and Kim and the music. Let's go to Exodus, the 8th chapter. Now, I'm gonna say this. You know, y'all love me, right? Good. This is not this, not necessarily this congregation, but it seems to come up different places from time to time. And I think it's prevalent in the body of Christ. We look at the Old Testament like, well, you know, that's the Old Testament, and you know, we have a new covenant, and yes, we do. Everybody say, yes, we do. Thank God we do. But you wanna know something? I'm not contradicting any of that. But I want you to listen close. The benefit of looking at the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans and 1 and 2 Timothy and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and John's letters that he wrote and Peter's letters that he wrote and Philemon. Apostle Paul did not know. He didn't know. Someday it would be here in Roger Cook's Bible. You know how he wrote those? He wrote those New Testament proofs that we have today by using Old Testament scriptures and principles that he had learned. And by the Holy Ghost. In fact, I started doing this one time. I stopped because I ran out of numbers on this. At one point, I was looking at how many references the Apostle Paul and Peter and John made to Old Testament. And I stopped at 600 and some. And I wasn't done. They built the... by using Old Testament principles. So what I'm going to do today is show you a type. You don't have to spend a ton of time there. But this is talking about when he did this, he was showing a type to show what you have today. So let's look at that way, okay? So look at Exodus, the 8th chapter. And let's look at verse 22. And for the sake of... set the stage for what's coming next for this congregation, also as in the city of Niles. But so for the sake of time, you know, Moses was brought before Pharaoh to deliver the Israelites, you know, to get them out of Egypt. It had been promised, prophesied they would come out with great substance, but great victory. And he had a Pharaoh that says, no, you're not leaving. And he said, well, you're going to let us go. Now, this is one of those plagues. I want to just jump right in the middle here. Look at this. And he says, verse 21 says, if you won't let me people go, I will send swarms of flies upon you and upon your servants and upon your people into their houses, and the house of the Egyptians shall be swarms of flies and also the ground where they are. Look at this, verse 22. I want you to pick up on this. And in that day, the land of Goshen, that's where the Israelites lived, in which my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies be there, to the end you will know that I am the Lord. Again, said I will sever. Everybody say sever. That word, if some translations may say have put a distinction and separation, that's really good. In fact, the Hebrew word literally means I'm a sever or put a separation, a distinction between you and our people. Now I want you to you have a redemption, a redemptive life that the world needs to see. I'm telling you, you do. You have a redemptive life. And you got to realize something that sometimes we're so concerned. I'm telling you, COVID, I'm not going to get political on you at all, but I'm telling you, COVID really showed a sad state of the church. He really did. I watched churches shut down and cringe and... they just quit going because they're afraid. You know what? Listen closely. Listen close to me. He says, I will sever. Now, I'm gonna give you some really strong statements in a minute, but I want you to pick up on this. This is a type. I'm going to put a separation between you and them. Look at the next verse. Look at this next verse. And he says, and I will put a division. Everybody say division. Anybody have a footnote in their Bible on that? Anybody's Bible says redemption? Okay. I was hoping about 20 of you said, yeah, mine does. A ransom. Okay. The Hebrew word literally is ransom, is a redemption with. Deliverance. Okay. The Hebrew word is actually redemption. It's used other places as redemption. So I want you to get this picture. All those are good, and none of them contradict each other, but I want you to pick up on this. He says, I'm going to put a separation, a distinction between you. That flies there are going to end up in Goshen. None. Everybody say none.
None.
Not one. And it says, this sign shall be. Wow. Now look what he said here. Everybody say, I have a redemption. Let's do a little stronger than that, if you don't mind. Yes, we have a redemption, amen? You know, most of you guys have phones, you know, and I don't know if you remember a few years back when iPhone was, you know, maybe it's more than a few years, but iPhone was really getting popular. It was popular years ago, but as they grew and they grew and they grew and they're selling all these apps. Or there, you know, there's free apps or something you buy and so on. And they did this thing where they would show some guy trying to go out to dinner, you know, and he says, I can't find a restaurant. There's an app for that. The restaurants are, and it'll even tell you if there's a wait. Some of them have that. You know, you can 20-minute wait, 10-minute wait. It'll tell you the price range. There's an app for that. You know what? We need to get a hold of this. COVID comes, came. They still talk about it, you know, some, you know, a little bit. And I get it. You know what? There's a redemption for that. Sin, you know, rampant, there's a redemption for that. Stop saying this country's going down to hell in a handbasket. There's a remnant in this country of believers that, you know what? I'm believing for revival. Now, let me tell you something. Okay, you know what? You know what the problem we have with that? Now, this is Roger. I'm going to talk about Roger, not you, because I'm sure you don't have this deal. Revival's in here. It's not something you're praying for. It's in here. You go where you go, you expect to revive. Amen? Because you're an alive person, not a dead person. Amen? Do you realize, now listen closely, yeah, I don't want to get off track here, I want to finish up with this, but I want you to pick up on something. The Bible says you've been baptized into Jesus Christ through the baptism, into his death, but raised. Cool. He raised you up with him, right? But you know, before he did that, he planted you in him. He planted you in him. He goes to the cross, dies, raises again, and you're raised with him. But before you had, you had to be planted in. Now, God did this, but there's also your part to say, I received that. I recognize what happened. This is not something I'm trying to get. This is a past tense accomplishment, present tense fact. It belongs to me now. Fleshly, carnal mind that thinks I don't have something that God's already said you have. This is what the enemy's number one tactic was, starting clear back in the garden, and he still does today. If you look at the temptation that happened on Jesus in Luke chapter 4, it's also in the Matthew account, but Luke chapter 4, he said this, if you be the Son of God, and the answer to that was what? It is written. It is written. It is written. Finally, it is said. Look back at the very garden. You know, the enemy comes to Adam and Eve. He comes to Eve and says, you know, got some pretty trees out there. You can eat all of them, except for that one right there. You know what he says? That God knows that when you eat of that, you can be just like him. You know what he was telling them? You know God's holding out on you. Tried to make them think there was something missing. Believers that already have something to start saying and thinking they don't, and get them to literally out already done for them. So look at this, back at Exodus, said this, that I will put a division, I will put a redemption between my people and your people. Now, we won't go this again, but over the next chapter, chapter 9, they're talking about darkness. He literally said this, I'm going to put a division again. He says, it'll be dark in Egypt, but there'll be light in Goshen. How do you separate that like that? There's a great type right here. You have the light of the world. Amen? He says, their darkness is not going to get on you, but you can go in there and get their light on them. You can take the light with you. We know this happened. I don't want to get too far in this, but I'll tell you, I know how it happened. Only gave them, it says they gave them silver and gold and wealth, and he said, and not a one of them less feeble. But the Bible says in Exodus said that there was a mixed multitude that went with them out of Egypt. That tell me there were some Egyptians said, you know what? I know what your God does, and I know what happens over here. I'm going with you. Amen. Well, guess what? Amen. So let's look at Exodus, the 12th chapter. And we're going to wrap it up with this. It's interesting enough that this actually came as a word that I was asked to come up and pray over some young people that are already in the ministry but expanding their assignments. And there was actually several olders, if you will, that older people had brought up and prayed in it. And this came to me. And I believe it's real fitting for this morning as well. But Exodus, the 12th chapter. And I told you there's a strong statement coming. I want you to get ready for this. So this is after all those plagues and that, right? And God knows, God said, you know, tells Moses that there's going to be this. For you, once again. And he tells him to go get a lamb. Now, I want you to pick up on this. I'm going to start reading here. Verse 2, he says, speak unto you all the congregation of Israel, in the 10th day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb. Everybody say, every man a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now pick up on this. These are not here for filler. Everybody say, it's not for filler. It's for all scripture. Timothy says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God for reproof, for doctrine, for correction. Look at this. Every man a lamb. And verse 4, if the house would be too small or too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man. And of course, he gives instructions on the lamb. Your lamb should be without blemish and so on. I want you to pick up on this. So every man a lamb. Now, I'm not going to have, we're going to, I want you to read this when you get time, but we're going to kind of go through this. I may hit a couple key verses here. Here's what he did. He said, I want you to go to your neighbors. First of all, get yourself a lamb. And we know that as this went, they take that lamb and they sacrifice this lamb. They took the blood and they put it upon the doorpost because that was a redemptive sign that this curse, this death angel, that is the first death of the firstborn of Egypt is not going to happen in your house. Took care of their animals, everything. Eight. He says, you'll eat it that night with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitterness you shall eat it. And it says in verse 10, you should not let anything of it remain till morning, and that which remaineth of it till morning you will burn with fire. And this, he said, how are you going to eat it? You're going to eat it with your loins girt, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you're going to eat it in haste because it's the Lord's Passover. Now, this is at night. Now, do you know what that means with your loins girt, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in hand? What does that mean? It's traveling clothes. That's it. That's it. You got the truck running, warm. So, and the loins girt basically means they had robes, so you tied them up so it's like baggy pant legs, so you could move fast and be free to move. He says, you're going to eat this. Now, listen closely. You're going to eat this way. And he says, you're going to receive all of it. Now, I'm going to give you a little tidbit. We're going to come back to this. This was a type of our Passover lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was a shadow. This was just a shadow of it. We got the real. The Bible says in Psalms 105, says this, says that they left Egypt with silver and one feeble one among them. That word feeble means not even a little bit sick. Now, you know, it says, you know, you can talk to several different people and they'll say, well, there's 1,000 men or 800,000 men. Most everybody agrees, probably close to 3 million, but let's just conservatively say there was 2 million people. How big is Indianapolis? Anybody know? I think inner city is about 2 million, outskirts about 3 million. Let's just use that as an example. Could you imagine saying, Indianapolis, we're moving in the morning. Everybody leaves. All the hospitals, all the nursing homes, every house, where you're all going to leave, and there's not going to be one sick, not one crippled. You know, I can tell by looking, and I'm not trying to look at your faces, but you're going, that's out there. Yeah, that's what happened. Not one feeble one, not one. You're amening, ain't really saying it, right? Well, listen closely. That was the type. We got the real, guys. We got the real thing. This was pointing towards where we're at. It was a point towards here. Now, with a redemptive act of the blood of Jesus to walk out there and say, you know what? I got something you need, man. You don't have to go through that anymore. I've got something you need. And it's not me. Savior we have. And this thing has been attacking you. We can stop it right now. Right now. You know, get ready to receive it. Right? And what's happened in the body of Christ? Now, don't take this wrong. This isn't talking about you. It probably is. Because I had to deal with, everybody's got to deal with this. Why are you laughing, Kim? You know it's true. She's laughing with me. Listen, we do. I'm saying, yeah. Stop it. You know what? See, you redemptive. This redemptive act, this separation, where darkness is not on you, but it's maybe on them, but you can walk out there with your light. And they can see such an amazing difference between you and everything else they've been used to, that they'll say, you know what? This has to be real. And it is real. Just read 1 Peter says this. We just said this. These great and precious promises. The last verse of that chapter says this. And by these great prophetic words that is more sure than a booming voice is how our gospel is. That's what it said. It belongs to us. That's the real. We got the real, guys. Come on, we got the real. And we receive, I love this. Maybe we should have done this corporately, but I want you to pick up on this. When you receive communion, when you come up here, make an adjustment. I should say don't. Make an adjustment. Everything that it paid for. The story, and if you've heard it, can I tell it again? I took my family down to Florida. We were, you know, we used to vacation around Christmas time for years because my company just took their time off then. We were down, and it was a Navy. And one of the business people that I did business with was going to be down there, and he found out I was going. He said, I'd like to take you out to dinner. So he took my family out to dinner, took us to a place called the Grouper House. Never forget it. Keena will remember it really well. She's Well, she's not hearing this, but her mouth would be watering right now if she did hear it. And you take us in there, and it's a seafood buffet like I have never seen in my life. I mean, row and rows of tables that had crab legs and lobster tails and lobster claws and shrimp every way you can imagine and crab every way you can imagine and Dungeness crab, blue crab, fish, grilled fish, blackened fish. As far, I mean, and it places, if I remember right, back then, it was back in the 90s. Was it $39 a plate, $40 a plate? Let's say $40 a plate. And, you know, there's four of us and two or three of him. And, you know, this is a big deal, right? And he says, you know, it's all you can eat. And just honestly, to this day, I've never seen a buffet that comes close to it. This would be disrespectful, but I'm going to give you a disrespectful moment just to give you an idea. What if he paid for a whole family and I walk up? Now I'm the leader. My dad, I'm dad, you know. Am I the leader?
Yeah.
You let me be the leader? Okay. Today. I had to ask permission. No. And I walk up there and I think, well, you know, got these big plates, you got these medium plates, and you got these little plates for dessert. I'm going to take the little plate. And I'm going down that line and I don't know if I'm worthy for them lobster tails and rich folk eat. You know where I'm going? But I go over there. And this guy paid $40 for my plate. And I'm going up taking the little plate to the table. Things here and there. I'm telling you, Jesus paid it all for you. Listen closely. Get the big plate. He has prepared a table for you in front of your enemies. Listen, that's not heaven, that's here. It's right here. Take the big plate. Don't take anything. Don't leave a salvation that Jesus paid for with his blood on your behalf, because you are redeemed. And the Bible tells us to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. With that, and we go, so, you know, I get that, but don't do that right now. I want you to say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from, I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from broke. Do you know that the Bible says it in Revelation, it'll be declared there shall be no more curse, no more curse in my life. Because he became a curse for me, because the Bible says, raise up with him without the curse. Amen? So what do? Well, yeah, but you know, I know for a fact that happened in your life, you know? Raina, can I use you for a moment? I'm so blessed by this family. We said, and it seemed like they got attacked all one day. You know what that was? That was a curse trying to take a hold of their life. You don't know something? You're redeemed from that. And you know what? If you name of Jesus, there's a redemption for this. And you know what? You have the right to ask. Now, you don't question God, but you have the right to say, Lord, did I open a door somewhere on this? Now, I'm not saying you did, but you have the right to ask that. I've done that. I've had times the Lord says, you know, you've been saying this for a while, and it snuck in gradually. He said, I want you to fix that, and I'm going to help you in this and get you out of this, but don't say that anymore. Because I found out, according to Jeremiah 1 and lots of other places as well, that for God to change what's happening in your life, he's got to start changing what you say. He's got to touch your lips. You know what? So here we go. Wrap up. Give me just a couple more minutes. This is a verse you guys all know. Let's go to Psalms 91. This will help you. There's a redemption, Ken. I am so pumped for this church. I mean it. You know, Karen and I have been doing, you know, been traveling and that, and that's not going to get smaller. Rumors that he retired and he quit the church. None of that's true. I've never been so busy in my life, and I've never been so excited in my life. And if it's allowed, we'll talk about it more. But I want to pick up on this. I want to close with this right here. Psalms 91. Psalms 91:1 says, "He that dwelleth," many of you know this, you're welcome to quote it with me, you can read it with me, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Thank you. I just pause, think about that. Look at this. "I will say of the Lord." Everybody say, "I will say of the Lord." "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him will I..." You know why He shall? Because you said what He said. You agreed with Him. He's covenant. Obligated is the wrong word. He's covenant attached to you. Says this has to come to pass because this is my covenant partner, and they're agreeing with the covenant on what I said about them. Surely He shall. You know what I did? Now I'm not. Listen, I grew up in a very strong Pentecostal background. My dad was a stickler for the word. He'd sit in the front row, and if the pastor quoted a... he didn't quote that right. You know, he was kind of legalistic about it, but he knew the word, you know. And he told me, "Don't you ever add to it. Don't you ever take away." And that kind of, that reverence, respect is really good. It's a good thing. But you know what? This is supposed to end here. This continues on. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He's my healer. He's my deliverer. And surely He shall heal. Surely He shall prosper." Why? Because you know what? I'm saying what He said. Amen. Okay, now wait, we're not done there. So I don't send him on a... I think it's 13, but give me a second. I'll tell you right where it's at. Psalms 91. And look at this. Look at this. Psalms 91. We're still there. I'd like to read the whole thing. It'd be good, but I want to have time for some ministry afterwards. Look at this. I believe we've got some things to do here. Look at this. Look at verse 8. "Only with your eyes will you behold..." From a spectator will you see what the wicked, what the world out there, because you got a redemption, right? But look at this next verse after that. "Even though it's high, your habitation." How'd you do that?
Christ.
Okay, but let's look at absolutely, you're exactly right. But how'd you do it with this spiritual reference here that He's given you? You said, "I will save the Lord." And you know, let's just use that, because I'm glad you said that. You know what? Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Healing power is in there as well. Right? "I will save the Lord." And it says, "Because you have made the Lord." How'd you do that? By agreeing with the Word of God says. Later on in the chapter, it says, "Because He has set His love upon me." How'd you do that? "I will say the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, Him will I trust." See, there's a spiritual principle that flows. Of course, it's all over New Testament. "I will say of the Lord." Jesus said, Jesus said this, but it was quoted of Him. The apostle and the high priest, is Hebrews 3:1, of our profession, saying the same thing as He says. Amen. Let's all stand.